In the name of the Father, and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. They asked me to speak about the power of prayer. We know all the religions, even in paganism, they believe in prayer. What I want to ask, the first question, what is the difference of Christian prayer from other religion prayers? In fact, prayer is, in Arabic, means salah, a contact between God and man. It is not just some formalities we have to do, but it is a personal and communal contact between us and between God. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, He came to every person. And I feel He came to save me. He loved me and He sacrificed His own for me. He became the high priest and the victim at the same time. When He came, He revealed Himself, and He revealed God the Father and also the Holy Spirit. And I discovered He is the first in my life. He is the last in my life. He is, in fact, everything for me. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God says, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Then when we pray, in fact, we discover and practice the deep love between God and me, so that I may discover how can I accept my Lord Jesus Christ and His Father and the Holy Spirit as the first and the end and everything to me. Saint Paul asked his disciple Timothy, saying, I urge then first of all that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. I urge then first of all that requests, demands, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. The first epistle of St. Paul to his disciple Timothy, chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. What does St. Paul mean by saying that we have at first of all, and before doing any other thing, we have to be concerned in the demands, in prayers, in intercessions, and thanksgiving? In fact, through prayers, we are ascending a spiritual ladder so that we may have special place in the bosom of the Father. We start by demands. I am in need of you. The world is in need of you. You are my satisfaction. Then all my needs here in this world can be satisfied not by my own power, my own talents, my own education, and so on, but at first by my Lord Jesus Christ, who sanctifies my power, my strength, my education, my talents, my emotions, my energies, all what I have inside me or from outside. If these things are in the hands of God, these things will be sanctified and I will be satisfied. The first step, I ask God, I am in need of you. When I accept my Lord Jesus Christ as the supporter, he takes care of me, then I will pass to the other, or I ascend to other step. The other step, he said, prayers. At first I said, I am here in this world, I am in need of many things, who can satisfy my needs? And the second step, I said, oh, I discover I am in need of close contact with you, regardless all my needs. You are my Father. I want to be one with you. I want to be united with you. This is the prayer, that there is close contact with you, not because I am in need of something here in this world or even in the world to come. You are everything for me here in this world or in the world to come. The third step, what he called intercession. When I am in close with my Lord Jesus Christ, I share him his characteristic as a lover of mankind. I love all mankind. I intercede for all mankind. It is not the work of the saints only who are in heaven or in the paradise, or the priests or the clergymen. It is the work of every member of the church to pray for the whole world. The intercession means my heart, in fact, is open to all mankind, and I pray for them, and I feel I am in need of their prayers. I am in need of my Father in confession to pray for me, my brothers to pray for me, the saints in the paradise to pray for me. Then through prayers, I discover the unity of the church, and there is mutual love between all of us. This is what we call intercession. And at last he spoke about thanksgiving. I am in need to satisfy my needs. Second, I am in need of the personal contact with you. Third thing, I love all the church. There is mutual love among all the members in you. The highest step, I thank you, thanksgiving. I became like an angel of God. I have nothing to be concerned in except thanksgiving and praising the Lord even while I am sleeping. How can we enjoy these four, we can say, kinds of prayers? Demands, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. The first step to practice the power of prayer is to be open with the Lord. God is not God of formalities. God is the Father of men. He wants us to speak openly with him. It is said, Saint Augustine used to say to God, I love sin. I want to repent. I want to be in purity and chastity. But I love sin. Can you leave me this day to spend this day in sin and grant me tomorrow repentance? It is too hard for him to leave sin. He wants to postpone his repentance to the following day because he was, in fact, in close contact with sin. He couldn't imagine that he can enjoy life without practicing the lust or the carnal lusts and desires. Because he spoke frankly with God, when he heard about Saint Anthony the Great, And then he said, oh, how this man, the simple man, became very wise, while I am as a philosopher, didn't enjoy the new life in God or in Christ. And when he repented, he said to God, truly I loved sin. It is too hard for me to repent. If I say, may you postpone my repentance tomorrow, may you grant me repentance now. It is very important for us, not only once, but all our life, to be open and to speak frankly with God. When you feel that your heart is very cold, you can say to him, I don't say I love you. I said, oh, I want to love you, but I can't feel this love. I am in need of the work of your Holy Spirit, whom I received in the baptism and Maron, to work in my heart. I will not leave you until you bless me, as you blessed Jacob when you appeared to him, and he insisted not to leave you until you bless him. We have to speak frankly with God and openly, and not even while we praying the Agbaya. When I pray the Agbaya and I say, oh, I spend my night weeping on my sins, as Saint David used to say. Then I said, oh, I said that. I am weeping in my heart. Can you grant me tears? Can't you grant me repentance? Can you touch my whole inner man so that I repent and return to your bosom? God wants us to speak frankly with him. If we look to Abraham, God wanted to burn Sodom and Amora. What he said? The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? How is it? Who is Abraham? God is saying, it is not the job of Abraham. It is not his city. He will be saved. It is far away from him. But God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? In Genesis 18, verse 17. If God doesn't want to hide anything from his believer, why we hide something from God? Why we don't speak frankly with God? I remember once a child, not a child, about 11 years old, he said to me, Abuna, I want to confess. He came and said, my father is very nervous. He used to insult my mom, insult his daughter, and insult me. He is very nervous. All our neighbors hate us. Our relatives didn't visit us. All those who work with him hate him. And what will I do? I hate my dad. What I will say to him? I said, do you think it is the fault of your dad or your own fault? He said, how is it, Abuna? My mother is wrong, and my sister and me and all our neighbors, all our relatives, all his colleagues, and he the only one on the right way. I said, do you want to see him in heaven? He said, surely. I said, did you pray every day for your dad? He said, no. Did you practice the Mataniyat for his salvation? He said, no. Then I said, how can you say you want him to be in the paradise or in heaven on the last day? It is your responsibility to pray for that, to love him. And then I said to him, your mind must be more broader than your father's mind. Then he smiled and accepted this way. He returned home, and at that night he brought tea to his father, and then his father asked him, "What do you want?" He said, "Nothing, Dad. I love you." He said, "No, I want to know what you do, what you want." He said, "No, I love you." He prayed at that night. In the morning, he started to make matanyat for his father. And the next day, he started to serve him by all means. Then he called him, "I believe you want something, and you are in shy. What do you want?" He said, "No, I love you." For a week, he insisted to serve him, to pray for him, to speak frankly with God concerning his father. After a week, his father called him and started to speak with him as his friend. And he became very relaxed. He started to deal the father with his mother, with his wife, decently. All the atmosphere of the house has been changed. His father became very cheerful. Everything has been changed. Through what? The prayer of his son. This is the prayer. When we pray for others and love them, not for anything except for their salvation and our salvation. I told this story after some couple of months in our church in Alexandria. And after a couple of weeks, I met a lady. Her husband also was very nervous. Sometimes he himself said to me, he threw her by a bottle of Coca-Cola once. He was very nervous. And he said, "I have no control on my nerves." Then I asked her, "What about your husband now?" She said, "Abuna, you don't know what happened?" I said, "No." He said, "Do you remember the story which you told us? When you finished, or we finished the Vesper, my daughter said to me, 'Mom, do you hear the story which Abuna said?'" She said, "Yes." She said, why we don't do the same thing like this person?" And they started to pray for the husband or the father of the daughter. And she said, within a couple of weeks, everything at home became very quiet. This is the power of prayer. It is not only the prayer of the priest for the congregation. It is the prayer of all of us for each other. We pray for each other. Even when we depart from this world, we will pray for the whole world. Then we have to speak frankly with God and to pray for all things. When I am upset because I heard something wrong in the church, any church, not only the Coptic church, any church, I have to pray. I want all the churches to accept the right faith, the right life in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all the churches become one, in one faith and in one spirit. God wants us to be his own. What is the meaning of be his own? In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it is said, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." As a man speaks to his friend. God is not separated from us. He is not isolated in heaven. He came to our world so that we may deal with him as friends. If Moses in the Old Testament was speaking with God face to face, and he was speaking as a man to his friend. What about us? Do you feel that God is your friend? Do you speak with him as face to face? Do you feel while you are praying at your private room or in the church that you are in heaven and you are in front of God and God is in the midst of the church and within your heart? Then to practice the power of prayer, we have to discover the friendship of Christ and to speak with him as a man to his friend. Second thing, not only to speak frankly with God as your personal friend, but also we have to focus our eyes on him. The problem sometimes we are focusing our eyes on our sins. Father or Abbot Bayamon, one of the great desert fathers, said, "Why you are standing near a very dirty place and say, 'Oh, it is bad smelling'? Instead of sitting near a dirty place, pass to the Lord and sit beside the Lord and said, 'Oh, how beautiful, or how it is good smelling. I love the smelling of the Lord Jesus Christ.'" And instead of focusing on sin and said, "Oh, I am a sinner. I am very weak. I do so and so." Why you don't say, I am a child of God. I am a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am ambassador of the Lord. I am an agency of heaven. I am the holy temple of the Holy Spirit. I am called to be an angel of God. I have special place in the bosom of the Father. I am truly waiting to be with the angels and all the heavenly hosts on the advent or the last advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Paul, who confessed that he was complaining of his, we can say, dead flesh. He was complaining that as if his flesh was dead by sin. But he said in his epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He confessed that he was the chief sinner. At the same time, he believed that he had the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was proud that he was hidden in Christ, and Christ granted him himself as his own righteousness. He was proud that all his inner man was focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on his weakness and his sins. The Saint Paul, who was complaining many times of his weakness, he was, in fact, focusing on the work of Christ who granted him victory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, he said, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I am victorious. God the Father granted me to be a member of the army, a soldier of the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the captain of the battle. He is the captain of the army. Then surely I will be victorious because I am following the captain and I am hidden in him. This is the first things which we have to do in praying in our private room or in the church. While we praying the liturgies or the canonical hours or the what we call personal or individual prayers. In everything, I speak frankly with God. I deal with him as my friend. I focus my eyes on him, not on any other thing, especially my weakness and my sins. What is the end of my prayer? What I want from him? What is the last? He said, I am the first. He is my friend. What about the last? What is the goal of all my life? I want to see him. I want to see him. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. If you will not see him here through faith, you will not see him face to face on the last day. Every day you ask God, I want to see you. I want to be in touch with you. I want to hear your own voice. I see you in the church. I see you through the Eucharist. I see you in the daily events. I see you in the righteous men. I see you in the sinners. I see you while I am eating, while I am drinking, while I am sleeping, while I am studying, while I am doing my work. I see you in every single moment. God wants to reveal himself to you and to me. Why we prevent us from seeing God? I remember once a person came to Los Angeles in 1970 or 71. And I asked at that time a person called Magdi Kamel, now Bishop Tedros. I said to him, a person is coming from Cairo. Can you receive him in the airport of Los Angeles? He went, and when he came, I asked him, he was concerned and taking care of many of the young people in Los Angeles. I asked Magdi, what about this person? He said, oh, it is a unique person. I said, how is it? He doesn't know anything about God. When I asked him about the gospel, he said, I didn't read the Bible at all. He doesn't know that there is a gospel called St. Matthew or St. Mark, St. John. He said to me, I didn't enter any church except in the feasts just to see how the people, they are putting on new clothes and something like that. He lived in sin. And when he started to live in the church, once he said to me, Abuna, I want to confess. Now he departed from this world. He said, I want to confess. I said, what? He said, in Egypt, I was very strong, and God couldn't conquer me. When I came to Los Angeles, I became very weak. I have no friends, no relatives. I can't do anything. He put me in a corner. And now I can be far away from God. It is a good chance for me to know God. And I discovered my Lord Jesus Christ. How beautiful, how nice he is when he brought me to Los Angeles and put me in the corner to reveal himself to me. This is, in fact, the end of our prayers, to discover the Lord whose aim is to reveal himself to us. I remember this person on bright Saturday, while he, at that time he had no car, he asked at midnight any person if he can pick him up. And when he was in a car with an American person, he said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I am going to the church." He said, "It is after midnight." He said, "Yes, the church is open. Today is the bright Saturday. We are preparing for the Easter, and we pray all the night. And yesterday, on Friday, we spent all the day praying." He said, "Are you mad?" He said, "No." He said, "Are you going to the pub and you lie?" I said, "No." He said, "No, I am going to the church." At that time, his English was very poor and weak. Then they became silent. He tried to speak with him. He couldn't. He said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Do you believe in Christ?" He said, "No, I don't believe in God at all." "Do you believe there is God in the world?" He said, "Surely." Then he started to laugh, and he mocked him. Then he said, "I want to ask you another question." He said, "What?" He said, "If there is no God, and I, when I will die, I will not lose anything. If you die and you discover there is God, what will you do?" The person couldn't answer. And instead of, he said, "I will leave you in Western, the Avenue, and the church in Robertson after, in the Western area of Western." He passed with him until Robertson and said, "We are in Robertson. Where is your church?" He said, "On the left hand." He said to him, "Can I enter your church to see that you are praying at midnight?" He said, "Oh, welcome." While we were praying, almost half of the church were full at that time. And he came, the two entered, and the American person started to weep. And he asked this person, "Can you visit me, speak with me concerning Christ?" For him, it is in fact an icon of heaven that he found the church was half crowded with the people praying sincerely at midnight to prepare themselves to enjoy the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This, in fact, is the end of our prayers, that we discover and see the Lord here in this world before departing to the world to come. Not just we see him, but also to reveal him to others. I remember once somebody sent a letter to me at 1970 while I was in Los Angeles and said there is one of the young people escaped from West Germany to Los Angeles and want to be a refugee. At that time of Gamal Abdel Nasser, he looked to all those who immigrant that they are against Egypt. And he hated those who left Egypt as immigrant in Australia or Canada or United States. I visited this young person. He lived with a little lady. She was Catholic. And her husband was Indian, and he was converted to Christianity. And I started to speak, to read the Bible, to speak about the Lord. We started to pray. And after I finished, she said to me, "Abuna, Or Father, I want to ask you, it is the first time I found a priest entering my home and speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I felt I am very happy with my Lord. In my church, all of them are speaking about the projects and money and so on. But now I discovered you never even mention anything concerning the activities of the church. You are speaking only about the Lord and about prayer, reading the Bible and so on. Can I visit your church? I said, welcome. But there is a problem. She said, what? At that time, in 1970, all the prayers, all the sermons in Arabic. I said, we will pray in Arabic, because the majority at that time didn't know English, because many are coming refugee from villages, and they didn't know even to write Arabic, not only English. She came at 9 o'clock, and at that time we started 9 and finished at 12, because many persons come from many areas. There was only 2 churches in all United States, one in Los Angeles and then the other in Jersey City. I said, oh, she came very early. How she will spend 3 hours hearing Arabic and she will not understand any word from the liturgy or from the sermon. After I finished, she asked me, can I speak with you, with my husband? I said, okay, but I have to baptize a child. She said, can I see how you baptize him? I said, yes. I started to pray in Arabic, and I baptized the child. And afterwards, all the people used to eat together in the hall of the church. And I spoke with them. She said, Abuna, I have a question. I expected she will say, do you have some books in English concerning the liturgy, concerning the history of the church, the doctrines, the dogma of the church? Or perhaps as the Americans used to say, oh, how beautiful is the church, how beautiful is this office or this service and so on. But I was astonished. Since she said, Abu Father, how can my husband become a priest? I said, you want him to be a priest? She said, yes. I said, at first you ask if you will become an Orthodox person, and then you ask. She said, no, I asked him after the service, what about your feeling while you attend the service? He said, although I didn't understand the words, but I felt all the church were in heaven. It was a lovely service because all the people were singing together. All of them are sincerely worshiping God. And the same feeling, well, it is the same feeling for me. Then we said, why we do not have the same privilege that we enjoy heaven through this service? This is an example. Through prayers, even the communal prayers, even when we don't speak with the human language, with the language that others can understand, when we sincerely pray, God reveals himself to us and to others. When Mr. Leader and his wife visited Amba Abraham, Bishop of Fayum and Giza, and they came from England to visit Saint Abraham, and he started to pray to them. The ladies asked Mrs. Leader, what about your feeling when you visited Bishop Abraham? She said, I asked my husband, we have mutual feeling. When he put his hands on our heads and he started to pray, we do not understand except one word, Kyrie eleison. because it is common all the world. But we felt we were not on earth, we were in heaven. This is their feeling. They were in heaven, not on earth. Do you have the same feeling when you are praying at home? Do you have the same feeling when you participate in the liturgy of the Eucharist? Do you have the same feeling when you are attending, I don't like the word attending, but participating in the liturgy of the marriage? Do you feel you are in heaven and the true and bride and the true groom is the Lord Jesus Christ and His church? Do we have these feelings in all the liturgy, in baptism, in Mairun, and all this liturgy? We are in heaven. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see Him by our inner man, and we enjoy the vision of Christ and the vision of the Father and the Holy Spirit while we are praying. This is the last. And He is the first, and He is the last. He is the first, He is my friend. The last, I enjoy Him. And not only I enjoy Him, I see Him. And I live with Him in heaven. I am not waiting that I will be in heaven. Truly, we are waiting the last day and the resurrection of our bodies. And we will be glorified in our souls and in our bodies. But we have the pledge of heaven here. I am here in heaven itself. I am called to be in heaven while I am here in this body. The problem, we do not discover our situation. We are not here in this world as any other creature here in this world. We are chosen as children of God, and He created the atmosphere of heaven within ourselves and in our eyes, even what surrounds us. I see heaven, I enjoy heaven in everything. Do you want to see somebody who was enjoying heaven while he was in grief or in temptation? I want you to compare between the first Adam and Eve, our first parents, and Job while he was in temptations. Adam and Eve were escaping from the sight of God. They couldn't see Him. They imagined that they can be hidden under the shadow of the tree. They said that we are very afraid. We are barred from clothes and we are in shame. This is the situation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What about Job? Job lost all his properties, all his animals, all his kids. He was dead under the house which has been collapsed. And there is nobody who can even bring those sons and daughters to bury them in a grave. Even his wife was, in fact, against him, blaming him. And his friends had been changed into enemies, attacking him, criticizing him in a very bad way. Even his body has a clothes of worms. He became, all his body became sick except his tongue, because devil wants him to blaspheme God. What Job said? He felt he was in the paradise, although he was in very bad situation from outside, but he practiced singing a very nice song. According to Saint John Chrysostom, his song was better than the songs of the angels, because the angels sang songs while they are in heaven, while they are not under temptations. But Job sang songs and gave thanks to God while he was in a lot of problems. He said, I am in heaven. I believe my life is temporal, and that nobody, even Satan, cannot take my God away from my heart. He is in my heart. I see him even in these bad situations. Therefore, my lust is to practice the pledge of the heavenly life here in this world before leaving this world, when I will see him face to face and enjoy heaven in the last day, in the paradise at first, then in heaven on his last advent. The Lord Jesus Christ is my first, he is my last, he is everything to me. He is everything to me. David, the king and the prophet, he said that he was as if in a among the garbage, and God lifted him up to be among great men, noble men, or noble creatures. But what he said? He said in his psalm that he became a prayer. He is a prayer. What does it mean? He said, when I became a king, I have no other job except to pray and to praise God. When he was under temptations or in temptations, he was giving songs to God and he was praying to God. In all occasions, he, as if all his blood has been changed into a prayer. He was praying by his tongue, and he was praying by his deeds. He was praying by his heart. He was praying by his energies. All his energies, from inside or outside, were devoted for prayer, because he felt God is his satisfaction. God is his satisfaction. How can I enjoy my Lord as everything to me? God created man to be joyful and cheerful. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, although he wept many times, but Pilate, Pontus, wrote a letter to Herod, what he said. He said, you truly like, you, when you see him, you desire to focus your eyes on him. But it is too hard to see his eyes. He is very attractive. He always cheerful. He always smiling. And just in some occasions, he was weeping. Truly, he was a man of suffering, or according to Isaiah, he was a servant of suffering. But he, as a representative of every one of us, he was always cheerful. How, when I accept my Lord Jesus Christ as the source of joy within my heart. I am always cheerful, I am always smiling, I am always rejoicing, I am always satisfied with Him, because He is everything for me. When I eat, I discover who grants me this food for my body. He grants me Himself as a food to my soul. When I sleep, I thank God. He grants me to sleep for the rest of my body. He grants me His bosom to have rest for my soul. When somebody hates me, I thank God He grants me somebody to hate me so that I may share him the love towards enemies. It is a good chance for me to love the enemies. It is a divine chance that I share my Lord this characteristic. In every event, in everything, I see my Lord Jesus Christ, that He is everything to me, and He satisfies all my needs. At the end, I want just to refer to something. We have one life. We have one life. If you are in the church, if you are at home, if you are with your friends, if you are at your school, if you are in a party, if you are in a wedding celebration, there is one life. You are in Christ or outside Christ. We cannot live between half and half, between darkness and light. We have to choose. And sincerely to have the decision. Do I accept to be in my Lord Jesus Christ? It doesn't mean you not enjoy life, but you think the Holy Spirit will sanctify everything in your life and grants you sound personality, and you will feel truly that you are very happy. I remember here in Sydney from, I think, more than, from 1975 or 1976, I asked the servants of Sunday school. I came from Melbourne at that time. I have a meeting with the servants of Sunday school. I asked them this question. Who is the happiest person in the world? Who is the happiest person in the world? Somebody said, oh, children. Somebody said, the prophet. Then the answer was, who is the happiest person in the world? Who? Me. I am the happiest person in the world. I am not in need of anything. There is no lack in my life. I enjoy the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I am in the Church of God. I have the pledge of heaven. I am ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I am the happiest person, not only in this world, but even in the world to come. This is the feeling of the Christian. We are the happiest persons. Sometimes I ask it, perhaps I am exaggerating in this matter. And from about 1 year, I read a letter sent by Saint Ambrose to one of his friends. He said, can we find any person in the world more happier than the Christian person? I said, okay, then I am on the right way. Do you have this feeling you are the happiest person in the world? If not, you have to evaluate your faith. And you have to evaluate your spiritual life and to confess. And when you come to Abuna, you said one of the greatest or serious sins that I lost my joy. I lost my joy. I hope all of us truly enjoy prayer as a close contact with God, enjoy its power that we see our Lord Jesus Christ to practice heaven and to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are my first, you are my last, you are everything to me. Glory be to God forever. Amen. If I have a short temper, how can I control myself before I say something I will regret or something that will hurt someone else? Good question. All of us, surely sometimes we are in short temper, we become angry. We are in need of something to control anger. The first thing, to practice anger in its right way. I was speaking, I think, yesterday or day before. The first or one of the greatest gifts of God is what? Is anger. Without anger, we can't love God. If I am not angry against my sin, how can I love my Lord? If I will not criticize myself, how can I love my neighbor? Imagine a person never be angry, even against himself. He will not love God. He will be very cold. He will not be a human being. Then anger is a gift if it is a holy anger. If I, through the work of the Holy Spirit, direct it and guide it on the right way. Then this is the first. Second thing, if I feel I am angry, I can leave the place just 10 minutes before giving any reaction. Don't have the reaction immediately after the event. When you leave yourself, just according to many of the psychologists, say, they say 1 to 10 before you become angry. Then you will find yourself very quiet. We don't say 1, 2, 3 to 10. We say, my Lord Jesus Christ, help me. My Lord Jesus Christ, be with me. And so on. And we can leave the place just 10 minutes and return, and we will become very quiet. The Lord said that we should use the authority He has given us to bind the strong man, to deliver those who are captive, to heal the sick, to set the captives free. But many of us here, we don't know our authority in Christ. We need to know who we are in Christ, and Christ is magnified. And we should bind and speak to the mountains in front of us, in our lives, to be removed and cast in the sea. The Lord Jesus Christ granted this gift to the disciples and to the apostles to preach. But even the apostles and the disciples, not all of them has all these gifts. Everyone has special gift. If God grants every single member all these gifts, he will fall in pride, and perhaps he will lose or she will lose her redemption. We believe we are very strong. We have authority to tread upon the serpents, scorpions, and all the enemies. We are victorious over Satan. But we can say that we have the gifts of making miracles or something like that. Saint John Chrysostom, even in his interpretation or commentary on these verses, he said that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to deliver others from captivity, not the material captivity, but the captivity of Satan, and to heal the sick from the illness of sin, and to make others free by encouraging them to be sanctified in their free will. Therefore, we have to understand all these things in a spiritual way, that we pray for all men to be free, to be healed, to not only to be free and to be healed, but even to be risen from death, the death of sin, but not in a material way. Should I pray using the Agbaya? If it is good enough to pray any own prayer, because I feel more close to God this way. When we pray the Agbaya, it doesn't mean we just pray the Agbaya. We have also to pray our own prayer, if you say, because I believe even the Agbaya, the canonical hour, is our own prayer. It gives me the chance to speak and to enter in dialogue with God. When I pray, I start with a matanya. Between every psalm, I practice matanya. When I say Kyrie Eleison 40 times or 41 times, in my prayer, I remember the sick people, those who are in need of help, those who are in need of the spiritual freedom, and so on. Even in the liturgy, why the deacon say pray for those who are sick? It is not formalities. It means at this moment, you are praying for those who you know that they are sick. When he said, pray for the Pope or the Bishop, it means from all your heart, you say, God, can you use the Bishop and the Pope for the salvation or for preaching and for attracting many people to Christ? We believe there is no any contradiction between the communal life and the personal life. We practice the two together while we praying the Agbaya or while we praying what you call here our own prayer. When I sit in front of God and ask the Holy Spirit to touch the incense of my prayers by the coal of fire, then I ask him, who do you want me to pray for? You will tell me and guide me who is one who is on his hearts to pray and intercede for. When we are open to the Holy Spirit and allow him to pray in us and through us, he will intercede in us with groaning that cannot be uttered. We do not ignore the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, but we have to be very cautious for humbleness, because we have to be cautious. Through the Spirit, sometimes we feel that we are more righteous than others, as we are the interceders of others. We pray for all men. I put the names of the people whom I know and pray for them. It is your responsibility. But at the same time, while we ask the Holy Spirit to work in us, we have also to ask for ourselves that we are sinners. We are in need of the prayers of others. And we have to be cautious in this attitude. What can I do for my friends or at work who are Christian but they are far away from God? I tried many times to tell them about God's love, but they don't listen. I show them love, but no response. I feel sorry for them. I cry to God to touch their hearts, but their names, put their names on the altar. What else I can do for them? I remember the one of my friends, he was a teacher of Sunday school while I was even a teacher of Sunday school. He was very active. He used to visit all the high school students, and one of them refused him, and many times he didn't accept him even to visit him at home. And for a long time he was serving him through love and in cheerful way and praying for him. I remember after many years he left Alexandria and went to another city. Then this teacher or servant wrote a letter from just 5 or 6 lines. And at the end he said, "The Lord be with you." After a week he received a letter from this student and said, "I read your letter, just 2 words, but in English 3, the Lord with you, and all my life has been changed. I want to tell you that I am sorry for all what I did with you all these years, but I believe all what you did, now I receive the fruit, and all my life surely will be changed. I ask you to guide me, what can I do to not only to live in Christ, but also to save my Lord Jesus Christ." Don't be in despair. Perhaps you serve a person for a long time. I know some people, even on the last moments of their lives, they remember how somebody served them while they were children, and God changed their life on the last moments. I have a friend. He was my colleague while I was in the university. And when we finished our study, he was very rich. He used to spend all his money in a very bad way. He had bad friends. And after I was ordained a priest, I said, "I want to visit him." When I knocked the door, he opened the door, he was weeping. I said, "What happened?" He said, after midnight, about 3 o'clock at a.m., "I am weeping till now." I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Oh, we were joking, we were having a party, we did something wrong, we have very bad attitudes, and I spent too much money in wickedness and in evil things. When I went to sleep about 3 o'clock a.m., I saw my father. His father died from about 25 years while this person was a child. He said, "I saw him while I was sleeping, and he had the, what we call psalmody, because he used every morning, early morning, to give hymns from this psalmody. And I saw him while he was praying in fear of God, the Lord, and in love. I started to close my eyes, but I couldn't prevent this vision from me. I left my bed. I went to a chair, and I saw the same vision. I returned back, Then I said to my Lord, oh, how this angel has a son like me as a Satan, as a demon. How this angel had this child, and I started to weep. And God sent you to me to confess. All the day I was weeping and crying, asking God to forgive me. And he started his repentance through the work of his father, who was praying the psalmody while he was 6 or 7 years old. What he saw while he was a child converted him, or granted him repentance by the work of God, who after finishing his study and after 25 years. Then don't be in despair. Do your best and leave God working in him, even after many years. Surely God will work in him. If we repent and return to the same sin, does this mean that our first repentance wasn't sincere? No, it doesn't mean that it is not sincere, but it needs only, as I said, to give thanks to God for what he grants you, then you will take more and more advantage. As Saint Isaac the Syrian said, that nothing will be increased unless by thanksgiving. When we thank God for all his gifts, he will grant more and more. How do you know what path God has set for you, whether it be a monastic life, priesthood, or marriage? بس ممكن تبقى priesthood and marriage. Before giving or before taking a decision, at first you have to put all your life in his hand. If you have the attitude of monastic life or priesthood, you can use this spirit for your progress. When you have some bad thoughts, you say, how I want to be a monk or a nun while I have bad thoughts, then you pray and repent. When you didn't care about the salvations of others, you say, how can I will be a priest while I don't pray for my family, for my colleagues, for my friends, and so on. Use all these things without giving a vow. Leave it in the due time. Surely God will direct you to what is for your salvation. The Jesus prayer, should we as lay people pray this prayer as often as possible? What do you mean by Jesus Christ? My Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. I myself feel many persons enjoy the Jesus prayer because it, in fact, grant us a kind of protection from the bad thoughts. It grants us the chance, our hearts, to be lifted up towards heaven. Is it right to pray for someone to love you? I pray for everyone to love my Lord Jesus Christ and to grant me love towards him. But I don't care if he loves me. When he loves the Lord, he will love me. How can one be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? And nowadays, people take advantage. We have to put the two together. Wisdom with simplicity. I have to live in simplicity. I love all mankind. I pray for all them. I have to be wise. If there is a group, they have drugs, they do something wrong, I have to be wise to prevent myself from their community in these bad ways. But I love every human being. If those who are abused by drugs, I have to pray for them, but not to share them their parties or their meetings or their customs. Thank you for attending and pray for me. Glory be to God. Amen.